for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 28th, 2008. Carl Fox is a speaker of the evening teaching on Time to Draw Near to God.
Well, to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp family out across the internet this evening, Carl Fox from Truth Arkansas, New Mexico, will be ministering. Brother Carl.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Do we believe that? Something good's going to happen. You know why? We're happening. Right? That's right. You are all so pretty to look at from up here. But we got so much to be thankful for. And I really believe, you know, last night I talked about responsibilities, and I guess what I really want to share with tonight is to draw near to God. There's never been a better time to draw near to God. You know why? Your life. Your good times and your bad times are really all behind you. But there's never been a better time to draw near to God. Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And if you're drawing near to God, it don't really matter. Amen? And I think of all the promises, all of them. I wish I could always think of all the promises of God because there's so many. But, you know, we look at market problems and we look at inflation and we look at socialism coming like a raging fire. But maybe that is the will of God. Seriously, maybe it is. I remember the revolution happened in 89 in most of the communist countries. And Romania was a real bloody revolution because they didn't have guns and Ceausescu wouldn't quit. The wall come down and everything else. And the Christians started at Timișoara, or in that, I can't remember the village, but it was near there. They just held, can you imagine singing? Yeah, we had a good time praise practicing here tonight. But they held hands and walked into a hail of bullets. And when somebody fell and couldn't go any further, somebody else took that place. Until the army got so sick of slaughter, they threw down their guns. They paid a terrible price. And yet, one of the men that really, there's a famous Romanian, I can't think of his name right now, but Voice of the Martyrs made him pretty well known and stuff. But, and the prophet, something or other. But, Dudeman. And he was a good man. But the men that got him out of the country risked their lives, and they were even stronger than he. But they really felt that he had the ability to get America to see how bad it was behind the Iron Curtain, because a famous evangelist had gone to Russia and Romania and had come back and said they have religious freedom. And they didn't. But that's why he said it. I don't know. Maybe he believed it. I don't know. I'm not going to judge it because I'm not going to. But these people did not have it. But as bad as things got, some of these elder prophets came to me and they were crying and they said, Brother Carl, tell us if we're wrong. We've been praying for communism to come back because we're losing our youth. The ways of the West have taken them right into the world. Can you imagine that? See, so pressure many times can be a real blessing if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own. Don't try to figure it out. Trust it. You know, if you lean to your own understanding, you're not trusting in the Lord. Okay? And, you know, our great intellects that we picked up at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes it gets me in a lot of trouble. But, so that's, I just encourage you that we, let's walk it out with the Lord. You know, whatever happens, it, you know, best laid plans, you know, can, of mice and men, like they say. But God has His way, and it's our job to be in His way. That's our job. You know, it's our job to worship God, to praise Him, to serve Him. That's our job. That's our purpose for being alive. That's it, folks. And for that, He does great things. And even when we don't do it as well as we should, He is still doing great things. So I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And go to verse 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by what? The blood of Jesus. See, that's the power of the blood. You cannot stop a raging truck or a bullet with the blood of Jesus. It won't work. You can't tell a dog that's attacking you to get out in the blood of Jesus. You know, I mean, that's like using a thimble to try to put thread through your cloth. It's out of sync. But see, the blood of Jesus is what gives you boldness. That's why? Because you're clean. When that blood is cleaning us, you know what? We can go boldly before the throne of grace. And don't waver. Because you can go in and claim those promises just like they were promised to you. You know why? Because they were. Amen? And that's a really an important key, is that for us to be able to just be able to walk in and enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Folks, it's not your skill. And some of you are wonderful speakers. Some of you got wonderful minds. You can play the piano, good Lord. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. It really is great. Some of your voices. But even all that, that's just a way to serve Him. And you know that. That's why you bless so much. Because you know it. You know, and you know, I've watched people pat Glenn on the back. Glenn deserves to be patted on the back. Right on the shoulder, not down here. Okay, but he won't take it because he wants the glory to go to his Father. See, because he knows that it's God that makes the way. And if you want to see an example of humble men, Clement Humbard, my dear friend, and my dear friend, they're both like daddies to me. But these are humble men, and they should be teaching about coming in, being cleansed in the blood of Jesus. But God's merciful, and here I am. But anyway, I just want to keep going down here. Ways it says, by a new and a living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. The devil wants you and he wants me to let our flesh get in the way. But Jesus Christ knew that His flesh was not where the value was. And He kept it clean. He kept it pure. He kept it sanctified. But He offered it for you and I. And it says, having a high priest and an high priest over the house of God. And do we have the high priest over the house of God? You better believe it. And it's Jesus Christ. All right? It says, let us draw nigh with a true heart. See, don't try to con God. I tried that a few times. Of course, none of you ever did, but it don't work, believe me. You know, He knows. You know, and it's like, we were visiting some folks one time, and they had a cute little, these cute little plaques everywhere people have, you know. Here's one in the bathroom. It says, you might as well give your problems to God. He'll be up tonight anyway. Yeah. And because He knows your problems too. But He is closer than your breath. He's closer than your breath. Because he don't leave, your breath does. And it comes and goes. He is really there with you. And it says to draw nigh with a true heart. The word heart could also be translated soul. Because I think I shared, maybe it was somewhere I shared a couple few days ago before I got here, but the thing about it is, if I shared it before, forgive me with you, but Satan in after your flesh is dead and it stinks. He messed it up. He can't touch your spirit. It's sealed. He wants your soul. And your soul basically is made up of your intellect, which too many Christians get pretty big on the intellect, you know, or your emotion, and we got that problem, you know, and your will. But as we walk with God, our emotion and our intellect should make more room for the will. Our will, and not to be stubborn will, but to cause our will to be right so we can give it to God. Submitting our will to God, if it's not bound up in a bunch of intellectualism, where you got to understand it before you do it, and work out your own way of doing it, or emotion, I just got to get the feeling. I was at a meeting one night, and this minister is sitting up there quivering and twitching. And I don't, you know, what's wrong with this guy? We need to pray for him. But I was kind of a stranger there, so I behaved myself, and I did. Yeah, that's what he's waiting for, was the anointing. You know what? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, 24/7. All you got to do is start to move. You don't have to get on your knees first, but it's a good idea. All you got to do is start to move, because it's not Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Jesus gave His life for you so that you could live for Him and God. God put Christ in you, the anointed, the accomplished, the resurrected. That's the power that's in you. That's power. I got news for you. All of us together don't understand it. But why don't we push it? You know, my wife gets me to push it sometimes. Man, we'll be in the airport, you know. Now, where did she go, you know? And she comes back with crippled people, you know. Says, they want you to pray for them, Carl. We nearly just about to get on the plane in time and all kinds of things. But she pushes it, you know. And I think everybody in TRC knows Sheila. Because she's telling everybody about Jesus Christ. And the benefits, not the religion of Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. Stand up. Maybe you guys, we don't get together very often. This is my wife, Sheila, right? Amen. And I know that I could not be the man that I am, such as I am, without this fine woman. Because I'll tell you what, she's mean to the bone when it comes time to pray. When we first got married, I thought, what is wrong with this girl? She's up all night and wants to take naps. You know, well, get your clock straightened out, woman. She's getting up middle of the night praying, you know. Yeah, absolutely. She had to introduce me to the... I understood intercession to a point, but I didn't understand getting out of bed in the middle of the night for it. But she did. But she did. And she does. And many of you do. And God bless you. To me, the greatest privilege it is when we can pray for people. That is the very greatest privilege. Because I know, I have no doubt, folks, when I pray, God moves. And I know if I don't pray, He won't move. Now He'll be moving for somebody else. But, you know, somebody talked, Tom, you talked today about the heavens, you know. The three heavens. Well, I believe, okay? You can't convince me different because the way the Lord taught me. That second heaven, that one above us, that's where all the angels are. The fallen and the holy. And they're sitting up there with big ears, waiting to hear what you say. If I curse you, sister, they say, we're going to get this little girl. But if I pray for them, God's holy angels, and they're the big tough ones, bang, they move. See, they go where we can't go. They care beyond what we can care because their only desire, and they have no choice, they have got to serve God with everything they got. They had a choice. Some went with Lucifer. They got no choice now. So they're up there waiting for you to speak evil against somebody so they can move on it. They have no choice. They made their decision. They're stuck in their decision. You can't get angels, fallen angels, born again, okay? But the thing about it is you got to recognize that it takes boldness. And why not get bold now while times are good? All right? And times are really good. I just come back from Romania, and inflation's hitting there. They never had anything in the first place. We went to McDonald's because that Romanian food, I have to get some junk in me every once in a while to kind of get things bound up. And very seriously, I don't eat McDonald's in America. So if you own a McDonald's, forgive me, all right? But we do there. And I was surprised. It cost, and I took some of my faithful ministers with me. And they never go there, and I could see why. It costs about $23 a piece to eat at McDonald's. American money. Now, I was using lay, you know, but with the conversion and everything. I mean, things are getting tough all over. But we got it good. And that's what they said. They said, oh, we got it good, Brother Carl. The Lord's with us. Why don't you get something to eat? We're not really hungry. You know, I'm hearing their stomachs growling. You know? And, but, see, things are good. And you know what? Even if we have another crash of 29 type thing, probably already have had it. We're just taking everybody's money and giving it away. But, I'll stay away from that. But the thing about it is, it's good. It's good. Because God is our provision. You know, last night I talked about the necessity of tithing. I had somebody reprove me very sharply. Because you just said, it was so good till you did that and you just quenched everybody. Did I quench you? Please forgive me if I quenched you. Would you please forgive me? Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth, brother. Folks, don't mess around with God. You can't fool him. All right? Don't mess around. If you don't have enough to make ends meet, why are you holding back? Give him his. Because you don't have enough anyway, right? You know why you don't have enough? Because your arm got too short, you can't reach in the pocket and give it to him. Folks, that's an area we really got to be sharp on, all right? Okay? And this camp needs your support. Now, somebody told on you guys to me today. And the utility bills are really beating them up here. And I understand. I got a ministry that we've got 7 ministries we're full support of in Romania. I understand challenges, but I understand how God works. But I also understand that people need to care. And I'm asking you, and I'm not saying this, I'm leaving tomorrow after Doctor's Memorial because I got to get to Dallas, but so I'm not trying to suck up or anything, all right? But what I'm saying is, please remember the camp, all right? Because they got to keep it going 24/7 and remember them. Remember this man. Remember him. You know, it's not a sin to help Clement Humbard once in a while. Seriously. You know, he's a man of faith. If he wasn't, he'd be starved. Been a man of faith for so many years, you don't know any different. And I'm sorry to embarrass you, but, and I doubt I did, because you used to be by now. But folks, if you are only concerned about your need, in your problems, then Jesus Christ is no longer Lord. But Sheila and I have had it a rule of thumb. We get hit with some real challenges sometimes. We got one right now. And it'll work out. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Because you know what we do? When we have a need, rule number one, figure out who to give to. Seriously. I do believe in sowing in good soil. Nothing's going to grow on blacktop. All right? But it's the way it works. We're facing things. If we're going to go boldly before God, then that's get bold. That's one of the ways we do it, is by being concerned about one another. You know? And it's very important. But I want to go on with this. Because we have a high priest over the house of God. And who is that? Jesus Christ. But you know what? Sometimes it's you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the high priest in you. Sometimes he gives you the privilege and responsibility to be a high priest. Including you beautiful ladies. If you want me to say priestess, I can say that, okay? But it's okay, just seek God. You know, in Eastern Europe, they don't let the women do anything except have babies and cook. It's a tragedy. They get upset with me. You know, Christian Faith International Ministries, we've got probably at least a fourth of our ordained ministers are females. I believe in it. I believe in it. You hear me? I believe in it. You know why? There are more women in here, I'll bet you, than there are men. Don't have to count. I can see it. You go anywhere where the family's gathered and there's always more women. If I was Satan, I would get a doctrine like that too. I would get a doctrine like that so that we can just shut off half of the army. Isn't that amazing? And we have these doctrines, and you could give me that one verse and not say, let's go look at the context. You know, I mean, if we're going to go boldly before God, we've got to quit playing around. You know, I mean, we need to see that God has called. You know, right now you've got a full-time job with those beautiful little girls. But you still can minister, and you do. But don't let people hinder you. You know, do what the Lord is calling you to do. Be those high priests or priestesses or sisters. Okay? Verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a what? A true heart. You know, we sung a song tonight, and, you know, my legs get tired. I'm still working on that one yet. But, and I sat down, but the biggest reason I sat down is that song bothered me. That was a vow to God. Boy, it's just like taking communion unworthily. James said, don't make vows. You better, when you sing those kind of songs, folks. But I didn't care what anybody thought. I just sat down because I wanted to make sure there was no stuff in here. All right? See, the devil's serious. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you can have life more than abundant. But guess what? If you set yourself on the wrong side of the fence, the bull's going to get you. All right? And there are things, and that's why I'm talking about this. I'm talking deliverance. Tom done a great teaching on deliverance tonight. And that's the art and the task of doing it. It was great. Thank you, and I want a copy of that. But the thing is that we need to get to the point in our life that we're not where we need deliverance and healing all the time. That we're walking our will. You know, we talk about walking in God's will. That's up to me, and that's up to you. By taking our soul, our heart, our bowels, it's called all three in the Bible, and submitting that to God. Sure, you're going to get whacked at, going to have near accidents, all kinds of things. But if we will trust, because God will take care. I landed in Minneapolis in an airplane that had the tail rudder knocked out with lightning. And we didn't know it. We got off and we got on an hour later. We thought they wouldn't let us on the plane. They wouldn't tell us why. And then they finally told us. Well, they did, and I always sneak up to the desk, you know, and listen. And I found out, and I knew we'd been hit by lightning, because I watched it go right past my window. It's quite a sight. But, and they were amazed because, and Ed Johnson, the vice president of my ministry, was a Boeing engineer. And he was one of the design people for the 27, 37, 47, and the preliminaries for the 777. All great Boeing airplanes. He knows those things. And he told me, he says, when I talked to him the next day, he says, Carl, you know, you obviously had an angel. Because there's no way, because you can't steer the plane up and down, tip the wings, or land, or anything with the tail rudder. That's the one really vulnerable spot with the jetliner. And yet we landed, everything was fine, you know, so we had to wait before they got another plane in there. So they could take us on. And you know what? I know it was because God does these little fancy things once in a while. Sheila's driving to the airport, and she sees this angel sitting on an old pickup. We see it in my old pickup trucks a lot. I don't know what, in Chevys, you know? But but anyway, and she said, what, he had a great big brass belt or gold? And the Lord, yeah, he's just sitting there, you know, just you know, lounging. Sitting on the front of this pickup truck, and Sheila, of course, you know, she's wondering about that, and the Lord knows, and he told her, he says, that's the angel brought your husband back. She didn't even know what had happened, you know. But see, don't ever get on an airplane, just like going boldly before God, don't ever get on an airplane without blessing it in the name of Jesus Christ. They usually take him a cuckoo, and I kind of am, but that's right. But I don't have a problem laying my hand on that and saying, God bless you, airplane, in the name of Jesus Christ. A couple times I've had the captain come out and shake my hand. Only a couple. And I just reached the 1,000,000-mile mark with another airline. I fly a lot. In airplanes. I haven't done without yet. But and 1,000,000 miles is a lot of miles. But they don't appreciate it. They don't think anything about it. But if we would be just really our will, I mean, the reason you're on that airplane is because it's the will of God. And be sure of that. Anyway, I'm getting off, but praise the Lord. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart. And see, when you have a true heart, then you can have full assurance. See? Now you don't have to worry about bailing out AIG. See, we got full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith. See, James said, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Faith is not saying one thing and then another. You hold on to it. And this arm was paralyzed for 2 hours. 2 hours. Two long hours. It's over 2 years. My arm just dangled. It shriveled up and everything. And I kept saying it was healed. They wouldn't send me to a shrink. And I told the doctor he needed to go. He didn't believe in God. And I said, by the way, you're fired. Get my files ready. And that was it. Never seen the man again. But my arm was fully healed. I walked in his office. I'd been in there before. And the secretary says, do you have an appointment? I said, I don't need an appointment. I'm walking towards his office. And she says, do you have an appointment? I just opened his door and walk in. And I went like this. And that's what he did. He grabbed my hand and I won't squeeze you like I squeezed him. But he says, no, come on. I need that hand for surgery. I said, they couldn't hurt you. It's just a crazy man that's crippled. And then I told him what the Lord had done. He didn't really appreciate it because he's better than God. He's got the answer. But that's his problem. But see, if you will hold on to your profession, you know, if you'll hold on to it, it's got to happen. Folks, if it's been promised, and you don't falter, and when you start in the week and you get together with another saint that's got fire, and you cry out to the Lord and say, help me with my unbelief, it's got to come to pass. There is no what ifs about it. There is absolutely, you know, people say that I just get overboard on this. Well, I am not bragging on me, I'm bragging on my Father. But I have seen thousands of people healed, folks. The reason we have such success in Romania is because all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, when we first went there, a television ministry had gone in there, and they didn't want any more Americans to come. And I went anyway. And anyway, it was a series of healings, but the one that really touched their heart was they loaded me up, took me right off the street, and I'd set the rules to start. We don't. There's four of us, we stay in twos. And Ed and I, were my Boeing engineer buddy, we're walking down the street, we're discussing because they're just about to where our lives are threatened. We had the denominational boys a bit upset. And we're discussing, you know, trying to, you know, make our plans. And this car stopped, and they're all excited and smiling. Frate, frate. I knew that meant brother. That's about all I knew. And I got in, they pushed Ed back, and another guy jumped in, and they had me pinned in the back seat of this old Dacia. And away we go. And, I mean, they drive, like, pretty wild. And, no. Glenn is slow compared to them. And I've never... So don't point at him. And I've never seen him drive on the sidewalks, and they will. And they'll blow the horn because they want the people to get off the sidewalk. It really, I'm not lying. But anyway, they're all excited. You know, it wasn't long before that was the revolution. And I wasn't too sure maybe they're going to take me out and shoot me. But, and they take me to the back of a hospital, and they put me on a freight elevator. And I'd read my novels. I knew that's where they tortured people. You know, that was one of the places, you know. But see, the key is you can come boldly to the throne of grace, nothing wavering, and you know what? You don't entertain those thoughts that was trying to get me. I could have written a novel, a spy novel, with the thoughts that tried to enter into my mind. Just kept slapping them babies out. I kept reminding Jesus Christ that you said, you're with me, baby, and don't you dare back out now. You know? And he says, oh, you can't talk to him like that. Oh, really? You get in a tight spot, you don't do any good. Oh, please, Jesus. You've got to be bold. But anyway, and they open this door. We're on the ninth floor, and nothing's up there but old boxes and stuff. And they're pushing me. I'm not walking fast enough, but they're pushing me. And they open, the guy runs ahead of me and opens this door, and they push me in there, and I'm stumbling in. And I look over, and I see this man dying. And he, you know, and he was about as close as you can get without being. So you know what I did? I pulled my gun and I shot him. This right here. And I went like that. And I said, they knew what it meant. And they said, da-da. And I knew that it was yes, yes. And I anointed the man. And I prayed for him. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I commanded him to get up. And he got up. And he not only got up, he grabbed me. Just big old bear hug and swung me around just like this. And I'm not light. And I find out that this was the Secretary of State of Romania. And he was more respected than all the Congress and the President. He was a very big hero and an awesome Baptist ordained minister. And you know what? I didn't wait for the interpreter. And I didn't pray in Romaneske. I prayed in English. But he was up, and they're babbling around in this in tongues, you know what I mean? It was unknown to me. But you know what happened? The interpreter shows up then. Always late, you know? Well, then I found out who the man was. But see, that's how God opened the door in that land. And a lot of great things happened. But then when he finally, and the reason I'd went is he'd give me a vision about the gypsies. And he'd showed me that they're going to be the greatest evangelists in the end times. Because you can't starve them out. You can't keep them from crossing the river. You can't keep them in behind bars or behind borders. And all over the world, they speak wrong. Different dialects, but with effort, they can understand each other. And that's exactly what they're doing. They are going, and they're going to other countries. We teach them, and up they go. But see, when I started doing that, even though the Secretary of State got healed, and I probably am the only American that was invited to address the full parliament, both houses, and the Presidente, and all his cabinet, that said no thank you. I did. I didn't want to mess with that stuff, you know. And I didn't. You know, you want to do those things, hallelujah, but if I'm going to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have time for those banquets and junk. It ain't my way. Okay, because I say ain't. But anyway, because I started working with them, I was told, if you're going to work with them, you can't work with us. And I said, so long, it's been good to know you. And now when they're sick and hurt, and Brother Carl, frate, frate, you know, their churches are going down in attendance. Brother Carl, you come put life in it. I don't have time, thank you. But see, you find what God wants you to do, and you'll have a ball doing it. But if you hesitate, you're going to snooze, you're going to lose, and the devil's going to get his way. And you know what? You won't get encouraged by very many people if you're doing the right thing. You know, sometimes nobody. Sometimes. Hey, I got a pretty exceptional wife. I got to say that because tomorrow we got to travel together. But no, it's true. There have been times she's cried and she's hurt and begged me, Carl, you come back nearly dead. And sometimes I do. But she always blesses me to go. But yeah, and it is hard, you know. Because she gets beat up real bad when I'm gone. So when you find out I'm overseas, pray for my wife, please. You know, but anyway, it's just the bottom line is that we got to realize that we are clean. Nobody's perfect. Getting back to where I was. Nobody is perfect enough to go boldly before the throne. Fact is, you know, one time Sheila and I were having a nasty argument, and I got to tell you, I was not in fellowship with the Lord. We don't talk about where she was, but because I'm not sure. And the phone rang, remember, honey? And somebody was dying. I didn't have time to say, do a few genuflex and call the priest or anything else, or even say, Father, I'm sorry. Because you have a pure spirit. Don't get in this spot, but sometimes you will. But I ministered to him immediately, and Sheila's over there speaking in tongues. You know what? They didn't die. They got healed. But see, it's relationship. It's relationship. That's what gets the difference. The fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Jesus said that kind comes out by prayer and fasting. He didn't go pray and fast. That was his lifestyle. He went right in and took care of business, see? That's where God wants us to be. You know, we're not going to be perfect all the time. But we do have a perfect spirit. But we got to strive to draw near to God. Every day. Every day. And never be content with how close you get to Him. Never, ever. But you got to hold fast to that profession of our faith. And sometimes your faith stinketh. Okay? Well, and I shared this last night, really is true. If you will speak the promise, every time you speak it, you hear it four times. Try this, girl. Say, I love Jesus. Say it. And now put your fingers in your ears and say it. Say it. Still heard it, didn't you? You heard it twice. And then when you take them out, you're hearing them twice in there and twice outside. God told me, He says, I've stacked the deck for you. But Jesus also said, if you dwell in me as I dwell in you, you'll have what you say. Satan says, oh goody, I'm going to get him all out of fellowship. See, because you speak evil, you get it back four times. Okay? It's serious, all right? The only way you get out of life is you got to die. We got to change someday. Someday we got to put down these old skins we're living in. One day it's going to happen. Praise God. Got some things to go for before we go. Before it happens. But praise God, we'll keep these old bods going. But the thing about it is our confession. Hold fast to good confession. You know, I was accused of being a liar, and Sheila and I talked sometimes. Did my arm just dangle? Say, honey, are you sure we're on the right track? Or sometimes she'd say, you know, everybody says we're lying. We're just being foolish. I mean, we didn't have anybody stand with us. I don't think anybody did. Nobody did. Nobody did, except the Lord. Nobody did. Didn't know any of you great folks then. But nope, Peter said it. He said was healed. But see, I had to keep confessing. Sheila kept confessing. And people wanted to come around and say I wasn't. We kicked them out. It's our house. Some people really got offended because we told them, get out. Get out quick before the doorknob hits you in the butt. We ain't putting up with this. You don't let people mess with your confession. You know, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you know what that means? You're all born again, so that's part of it's done. Okay? But it means when you got a problem, if you will confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, not in your thinking, but with your mouth, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You know what? Because a dead Jesus won't do you any good. You know, little Jesus in Mary's lap, made out of stone. Nothing happens, except the demon's got something to roost on. Yeah, or hanging on a cross. He hung this way, folks. Study how the Romans killed. He was stretched out, and he was nailed through here, not the palm, because he would have broke bones. See, we got all these lies, folks. Oh, but it's so nice to say he opened his arms and died for me. But he was crucified, and it was a terrible thing. But see, we don't need, when we do communion, we remember what he did for us, all right? But you finish, we never have a communion that I don't talk about the power of the resurrection afterwards. Because I don't want to leave him dead. Amen? You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Doesn't say will, doesn't say might, it says shall be saved. And what that means is shall be saved from your gizzard ruptured or whatever it is. Liver, whatever. Well, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God will heal it. And if it doesn't manifest as a healing right away, keep confessing it. And you get a bunch of clowns that want to come and get out of here. I don't want you around here. You're not my friend. I'd tell a minister one time, you're working for Satan. Get out of here. Give me that religious crap. Well, he had a lot of things to say. Didn't sound like love Jesus either, but to hold fast to it, okay, without wavering. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. For he that is faithful, for he is faithful that promised. See, that's the key of it, folks. And those parentheses, and it was added for understanding. But that's the truth of it. If he promised it, he's faithful to keep it. All God asks for you and me is to have faith. And then he surrounds us with beautiful people like you that our faith can be strong, that we can encourage one another. It's a good deal. And this is what is drawing close to God. Sure, you got the Spirit of God in Christ in you. Absolutely. But you know what? You're living on the outside of that. That's in you. And if you're hurting or being persecuted and you feel whatever, you need to have a habit of drawing nigh to Him. You know, you need to confess Him before man so much that He's confessing you before God and the angels like He promised, that they don't have to go back to headquarters and say, Carl who? You're going to know. See, because the more you confess Jesus Christ, the more even the angels know you. And they're your friends. They're your strength. They are there to get those spiritual things done that we in our physical bodies can't get done. You know, I believe the day is going to come. It'll be necessary, and I do believe it. I said the other day, and everybody in church kind of looked at me because I walked right over the wall, you know. And I kind of expected to go right through it, but I bounced off. But I do believe that if we don't have that expectation, the faithful believe in expectation to do those things. You know, I never went to school to learn how to raise the dead or lay hands on the sick, have them recover, and blind see. But I've seen all those things. I learned it in the Word of God. And by drawing near to Him. And it's a real important key to remember. Jesus said, anything whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. So quit praying to the Lord. Lord, we want her healed. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You're talking to the wrong one. He's there. But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command healing to take place. Amen. That wasn't just said. It's true. But see, that's the key, folks. That is the key. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. All this, Lord that. Now, I know I hear you do it. So shame on you. Get sharp. It's good to talk to the Lord. But when you have a petition, you have a need, you go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus told the guys. He had them together. It was close to the end of His ministry. John 14 and 16. Spitting the ointment's going here. But He told them, quit asking me all the time. You guys are asking me for everything. Ask the Father in my name. Right? He said a little bit different than that. But He said it's time. Grow up. Get over your stupid religion. Religion's not of God, it sucketh. I said King James, so it's okay. Even Jesus used the King James. Get used to it. All right, well, I stretched out a little bit. But see, do it right. I meant to bring some books. I did a little booklet a while back on answered prayer keys. I wasn't going to do it in America because you Americans are all so smart. But we did it in Romania and then Romanian. And I'll tell you what, it's changing things. You know why? Even the denominational boys don't like me getting hold of them their books because they want results. But after printing thousands and thousands of them, you know, finally we decided we better do it in English, so we did. But it's just certain keys. And if you got them in your prayer, you'll see results. It's guaranteed by God. It's guaranteed by God. You hold fast to your confession, but quit praying to the Lord when you got to heal a broken bone or get a dead eye to see. You go to the Father. You go boldly before the throne room. You go to the throne room of grace before God Himself, because you have the right. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleaned you up. And you go boldly to the throne of grace. Nothing wavering. No double-mindedness. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you. I thank you for healing and keeping your promises. Speak what He gives you, but speak to Him. Because there is a difference. I know they're the same, but there's a difference. I ain't going to get into that theology stuff. All right? You figure that out. Read your Bible. But the bottom line is He said, ask the Father in my name. See, they couldn't, before Jesus authorized that movement, the only way you could get it is a man of God had to do it. Like a priest. I mean, that was a big deal. That's a big deal. You have the responsibility, the right, the privilege to go to the sick and lay on the hands and go to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You're on a first name basis with God. All right? Let's quit thinking it's going to take a lot of time. You know? I believe in deliverance, and I minister deliverance. I minister everything that needs to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. I do it over the telephone. I get calls. Boy, these people call me from Africa and can't hardly understand. They call me in the middle of the night because it was daytime for them. India, all over. That webpage gets me in touch with some wild needs. But praise God. But you know what? You don't have time when it's probably costing them $3 a minute and they live in poverty. And they get delivered. I get emails and they're trying to do their Spinglish or whatever it is. And it takes some real deciphering to figure out. But I get wonderful reports of what happens. See, folks, you do what it takes. You do what it takes. And there are times it takes deliverance. And believe me, we do it in our church too, all right? There are times it takes, but there are times, I had one time that literally this person, because of demons, them shirked back. And I said, demons, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. And that person's leg straightened. No prayer, but Jesus Christ got involved. To get close to God. Folks, please. You can't remember anything else about me. Carl said, get close to God, all right?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.